Okay, so if there's one thing that we know about God from looking at his creation, it's that God really likes diversity. He seems to love making creatures of all kinds and shapes, a seeming endless variety beyond what we could imagine. For example, just look at the stars. All the planets, different sizes, shapes. Look at the world of insects. How many different types of insects there are. Insects we haven't even discovered. Yet the interesting thing about God's creation is that as we move up the scale of life, you know, as we start maybe from, you know, just base minerals to bacteria and plants, worms, fish, reptiles, mammals, and finally, to us, human beings created in the image of God, we do not find that there's necessarily a decreasing diversity, but actually there's an increasing diversity. There's an increasing variety. You know, for example, it's almost impossible to tell one ant from another. And of one, the same kind of bacteria, almost every single bacteria is exactly alike. It's almost, they don't have distinguishing facial features, you know. But human beings are incredibly distinct from one another. Incredibly. Human beings come in all shapes and sizes, colors, ethnicities. Some are tall, some are short. Some are fat, some are skinny. The ancient philosophers used to marvel at this. In the ancient world, they marveled at how human beings, of all creatures, are created so unlike each other. So if there was anything in the ancient world that was self-evident, it was that human beings were unequal. That was what was self-evident to them. Indeed, it was absolutely one of the greatest achievements of human thinking that in the classical liberal period, the 17th and 18th centuries, we finally realized that human beings were created with the equal dignity. In spite of our differences, that under law, we all have the same rights. I mean, that's an incredible human achievement. It's basically created the modern world. So here's the question, though. Here's the question. If human persons, human beings, of all creatures, are indeed created in the image and likeness of God, wouldn't that mean that we would all be alike? If it's true that we're created in God's image and likeness, why are we all so different from one another? What gives? Well, St. Paul, in our second reading, one of his famous passages, gives us a clue. What does he say? He says, and I quote, "Now the body is not a single part, but many." "If a foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it does not for this reason belong any less to the body." "Or if an ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be?" End quote. Okay. So, in one body, there is a diversity of parts, and all these parts come together to form one body. So what does this suggest to us? Well, indeed, God did create all of us in his image and likeness. But God created each of us to be so special, so unlike anyone else, that no one of us contains the full set of gifts and perfections within which that full image and likeness can be found. God created each one of us to be so unique that each one of us must contribute to the whole something completely different, something that the others lack. Now, this truth is sometimes hard to believe. It's hard to imagine. It would be easy if we were all the same. Each and every soul here is a completely unique gift from God. Each soul here has something to offer the body of Christ, that is the church, that no other soul can offer. And were any one soul in this room lost for some reason, there would be some precious gift from God that would be lost forever. There's absolutely no room for anyone here to claim that he has no worth in the church. There's no value. Each one of us plays a role, has a function. And if any one of us refused to give to the whole that gift that we are, the church would be forever diminished because of it. Now, in my former way of life, my former career as a musician, I had a shining example of this reality. I was a drum set player. In bands. I played in a lot of jazz bands and rock bands. Now, the drums are not the bass. The bass is not the piano. The piano is not the guitar. The guitar is not a vocalist. So all of these instruments are completely different from each other, yet they must play together and they all need each other. Okay. If the drums were suddenly lost, would the bass all of a sudden sound better? Nope. The bass needs the drums. The bass needs the drums even to sound more like the bass that it's supposed to be. And if the bass all of a sudden fell out, would this all of a sudden be a drum solo, a drum feature? Well, no. The drums would sound worse. They need the accompanying bass to even sound like what they're supposed to sound like. And the interesting thing is, when all the instruments in a band play together, no one person in the audience picks out one instrument and he only hears one. No, what do they hear? They hear the sound of the whole music. The one sound, the one song played by the entire ensemble. God, our Creator and Father, has composed the music of the entire cosmos so that the ensemble, the artwork, the perfect masterpiece needs the contribution of every one of us. He needs each of us here to play our part. Now, there are two truths that we can reveal, that are revealed from this. One, we must each give to others what we have received. We must give of ourselves to others. But two, and second, in many ways more importantly, we must receive from others the gifts that we lack. Let's go back to the image of St. Paul. And he says, I quote, "But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you." Wow. Brothers and sisters, this is the most difficult part of the equation. This is hard. It would be so easy to merely give of my own talents and yet never have to receive from another. It would be so easy to be so comfortable in my own abilities that I would never have to admit that I need the gifts of other people, the gifts that were withheld from me. Yet this is exactly how God has designed the body of Christ. He has designed it in such a way that for any one of us to see the full likeness of Him to which we were created, we must learn to humble ourselves and receive from others that which we lack. So here is the spiritual challenge. Can we, as children of God, thank Him for creating us exactly the way that He did? That's hard, but it's important because God created us exactly the way that He did for the sake of our salvation. Okay, let's take this one step further. Another spiritual challenge. Can we thank God for not giving us the gifts that He's chosen to withhold from us? Can we thank God for not giving us the blessings that He's given to others? Ooh, that's even harder. But this is important because the gifts and blessings God has withheld from us, He's also withheld them for the sake of our salvation. Okay, let's take this one step further still, an even greater spiritual challenge. Can we thank God for giving our brothers and sisters the gifts that He has not given us? Can we thank God for giving our neighbor blessings? Wow, that's hard. This takes tremendous spiritual strength, maturity, and humility. Actually, it takes humility because it takes strength, and it takes strength because it takes humility. Brothers and sisters, we can always count on this truth. If we cannot praise and thank God for the blessings He has given others, maybe the very blessings He's keeping from us, we do not yet fully love that image and likeness of God to which we were created. We don't. We love God for what He can give us. But when we learn to praise and thank God for the gifts that we lack, the gifts that He's giving to other people, then we truly love God for His sake. Then we love God. This is the fingerprint of mature spirituality, brothers and sisters. The fingerprint of a mature Christian is the realization that the blessings our Father in heaven has given to others are not the blessings He's keeping from us, but are actually the blessings that He will give us through others. Our Father in heaven is nothing but generous with His gifts and blessings. Let us grow in humility and maturity and thank Him for